Okay.
Something on my way home, Rocky Top
Road. Sounds so right, but I cannot put a name to it.
I'm give like, us one more quick
one. Yeah, try it again.
Okay. Okay.
Kendra, if you hear it, just yell at us. Sing a song. Of, The Piano Man, Elton John.
Thank you. Why couldn't I? Finally.
Marty. Yeah,
there, I heard it. I heard it right away, and then I couldn't say. I'm like, what is the next line? Sing a song. You know,
I'm an idiot.
I'm just mumbling.
That's it.
Marty for the win, our guest tonight. Welcome back, everybody, to the old G spot. I can't quite put my finger on why they call it that.
Not a lot of men can.
Oh, is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyways, this week's guest is Marty from Albion. He's very
Radish.
Well known.
Jackass.
Radish.
Oh, Radish.
You're kidding me. I wish you would have told me that before we started.
Why do you think we had Bradish days? We've been talking.
I was going to ask you where the name came from. I didn't know Bradish was a thing.
It's a town.
Why don't we tell everyone what Bradish days is?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Sadly.
Start with that.
It was a party.
It was a party. It was an epic party.
It was a all-day volleyball tournament. We called it Bradish days, which kind of alluded to there being multiple days. It was really a one-day thing for the main party. But it was always a great party the night before, and the next day we had fun. So
well, for setup and everything.
Yeah, I guess we can sneak away with calling it days. I don't know. It was just always a joke.
Whose idea was it?
Danny and I, and we just, because we would always throw parties in our pasture. And growing up, when everyone would say, where are you from? We would say Bradish.
Like, no one knew where that was.
It hasn't. The last buildings were torn down in 79. Mm. So they'd say, where's Bradish? We'd say, south of Closter. You know Closter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they said, well, where's that? Where's that? Well, north of Boone.
Where is that?
Boone's at least got a sign there.
East of Akron.
Yeah, right. But so, I don't know. We just always told people we're from Bradish. But so we always joked we were going to have a party called Bradish Days. So finally, when Danny and Aaron moved back home to the South Place, they said, let's do it. So on Labor Day, I always have to stop and think it's Memorial Day, then Labor Day. I always mix the two up. On Labor Day weekend, on that Sunday, we decided to have this party. It was a volleyball tournament. Danny Pricer's really the one responsible for it all.
But who was responsible getting like the 14 kegs that came out every year?
It was only 8 the first year, and then we thought that was going to be too much. And then we had enough teams lined up. We're like, shit, that's not going to be enough. So we called Alex Avila and said, bring 2 more kegs from Lincoln. So we had 10 kegs the first year. And we drank them all. It was a good time. No music the first year. I mean, we had a stereo set up, and I think like, I don't know, 12, 14.
So how many teams did you take on?
I think the first year was like 10, 12, 14. I don't know. We only had one volleyball court. We dug a hole in the yard.
What was the first year that you had it?
8, yeah. Well, you got the
okay.
Easy. Yeah. Well, 8, and then 12 was the last year. Did it 5 years.
Because I only got to make it out there 1 year, and by that time you guys had about 6 volleyball courts.
4. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you were out there on your Harley, you and your brother, or whatever your motorcycle happens to be.
Little brother and I, rode the bicycles out there and
shiny go fast.
Yep.
Shiny then you left fast. And returned.
Yeah. We had
on
to
something with more wheels.
Exactly. I figured that was the most sensible thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
More eyes than
the one
vehicle.
Time you made a smart decision in your life.
Thanks.
Yeah, so we had one volleyball court the first year. Then the second year, we dug in 2 more. And then the third year, we dug a 4th one. So we had 4 volleyball courts. The first year, it was 10 kegs. The second year, it was 25 kegs. And that was actually probably the biggest year. We drank all the kegs. We started tap kegs at like 7 in the morning. Volleyball tournament had to start early to get everyone, all the games played. They played into the night, especially, you know, when we only had one court. But we ran out of beer before 9 o'clock at night.
Oh my.
So we sent someone to St. Edward with a whole bucket of cash, just whatever we had, and said, buy beer. So they went to the gas station and the bars, and they bought every bit of off sale they could have. It was a long bed Chevy pickup. They filled it plumb full of all the beer they could get, brought it back, and then we drank that. And then
bananas.
And then we said, hope you got beer because we're out.
The 1 year I was out there, somebody took a pickup and horse trailer back to town, and
got the kegs from town. Yeah, because we were keeping them up by the racetrack the 1 year. Because we just didn't have storage space to put that many kegs. Because it was 10, then it was 25, then it was 32, 33, I think, then 35. The last year was 40 kegs.
Wow.
It was fun.
Yeah, I'd say you had Bradish Days for the right amount of years, though, because I think 1 year past that, people would have been like, oh, where's the cops are going
to
be there.
Well, see, the last year, we would always take a stock trailer to Lincoln and load it up with kegs. We had a buddy that worked down there, kind of had us an in. We got some cheap kegs. We got up at cost, haul them back. We got Natty, because Norfolk Budweiser, Anheuser, whatever at the time, thought they were too good to sell Natty. They wouldn't sell it. When you're buying 40 kegs of Natty and it's $10 less than Busch, that's $400.
Yeah.
So we can drive to Lincoln for $400.
You bet.
So we'd haul back kegs. And the last year, Danny went to get the old man's stock trailer to do it. And my sister had just moved home from Omaha. And she was in the process of having a house built. She had all of her stuff on the stock trailer. Danny thought, no big deal. He went over to the neighbor's to get his stock trailer. He gets there. And one of his daughters is moving, and all her stuff was on Paul's stock trailer.
Oh, no.
So Danny, being the jack wagon that he is, hooks it up to a flatbed trailer. Doesn't take a tarp or nothing. Runs down to Lincoln.
With the kegs?
Yeah, throws 40 kegs of beer. We got a picture of it somewhere. And he's running down the interstate, and the state patrol pulls him over.
Well, sure.
Yeah, he said Danny's got a picture. The state patrol's walking up there. He's counting them all. And gets up to the window. He says, what are you doing with 40 kegs of beer? And he says, well, I'm going to throw a party. What else would I do with 40 kegs of beer? He didn't think that was the best answer. Told us we had to call a liquor investigator. And kind of a jerk about the whole thing.
Oh, no.
And so we did some investigating. And apparently you cannot give away free beer because we never charged for the beer. There was entry fee for the volleyball tournament, but the beer and the food was free. We just charged for the volleyball tournament, and then we paid out winning. But so we looked into it, and one of the things, in order to give away free beer, like if you have a wedding or something, you have to have a guest list. That's a weird.
Interesting.
So we made up a list of rules that last year. We had it posted on the gate when you walked in, and Danny came up with, he said, guest list, and it was non-Al-Qaeda. So, I mean, it was open, but we had a guest list. But so, I don't know, it just...
Who would have known that? I mean, what a weird rule.
Yeah, and then, so, the sheriff and Boone County at the time, we got along with them very good. We told them what we're doing. We said, if you want to come out there and check IDs, you can. We're trying to keep minors out. And so he was aware of it. And so the state patrol went and called him and was kind of mad about the whole deal and said, you need to go bust this. He said, I'm not going to bust this party. He goes, they're not doing anything wrong. He goes, go out there, drive by it. He said, there's 50 tents out there. You know, people are spending the night or getting rides. We were trying to make it as responsible.
Right.
And he said, because the sheriff said, he tells me, you know they're going to have 40 kegs of beer in your county this weekend? And the sheriff said, 40? For some reason, I was thinking it was 50 this year.
Oh, my God.
You know about this party? He wasn't happy with us. But so we had pushed our luck. Nobody got any accident. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got in trouble. We hadn't gotten in trouble. But it was just, maybe we had our five-year run. We had a lot of fun.
Nobody likes to see everybody like have this much fun or succeed in things like that all the time. So after a while, you just kind of got to quit a while and then maybe come back at it if you want. But
and now we're old and boring. So
I'm going to go that far.
Tap two kegs. And...
You do still own a bar, Marty.
Yeah. I'm not going to be scheduled there to work anymore, though.
What?
Really?
Yeah. As of the 1st of April, 31st was my last scheduled day. I just got too much other stuff going on, so I'm not.
No,
but then, of course, I got called into work the very next day. So on April Fool's, I was in there working the very first day.
Classic.
No longer work there.
And are you own that with one other person or
two other people?
Two other people.
Yes.
Okay.
I own 20%.
And how many years have you owned it now?
I bought in the summer of 12. So.
Oh wow, that's a lot longer than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
That also makes me realize my age. more than I was.
Yeah, when you start talking about stuff you did the other day, and you're like, that was just 10 years ago.
Yeah, about that. No, but we got some fun topics to bring up tonight, and we got some maybe not so fun topics, but we're going to try to mix them in there so we have a little bit of each going on. I guess we'll start. Should we start with the fun one? Sure.
No.
No? You want to start with the... Okay, well, let's go there.
Go ahead.
Katie likes to turn it dark right away. Go ahead, Katie.
That was fast.
Yep. Make it dark and then we'll laugh later.
Fine.
Come on, lunch lady.
Change my voice.
Anyways, Marty, some questions, some actual questions that I do want to ask you about. You also experienced losing your dad at a young age.
Yeah, I was 2 years old. 2 years and 4 days, so very young. Too young to really remember him.
And yeah, those are some of the questions I want to ask you, because obviously Lane was two as well when Brett passed away. So as far as actually remembering, can you at this point?
I remember having a memory. I remember when I was a kid, people would say, do you have any memories? And I had this weird memory with a tractor and my dad. And I would say that, but it's been so long, I don't remember it anymore.
Right.
I just remember, as stupid as that sounds, I have a memory of that memory.
No, that
I remember
makes sense.
Talking about it. I just don't remember it.
Now it's kind of getting faded a little bit now that you're getting older. And was it a dream or was it?
Yeah, well,
I mean,
2 years old.
But you remember it, so it's got to be something.
Mm-hmm.
So I've recognized that with Lane, because right away, like the whole year after, I mean, he'd bring up stories from like the year before even, or, you know, like months before the accident or anything like that, that people would talk about. And it would just, I'd be like, throw this in everyone's faces, because they all say, oh, at least he won't remember. And I'd be like, oh, he's remembering this.
That's kind of a dick thing to say.
A lot of people said that, though.
I'm glad you wore the loudest coat you own tonight.
What?
Continue.
I can take it off.
Continue.
I can't hear it.
I can't.
Whatever. Anyways, though, back to like the memory thing. And then now I've noticed he's seven now. So there's certain things I'll ask him. I'm like, don't you remember that? And he'll be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
It fades.
But he still asks all the time, like, about different things. Or when people will bring up a story, it's like he will recall the story that they told him. Mm-hmm. So then he'll, like, quote unquote, remember it. But
he's remembering what he was told.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I don't like that. And I also don't like, can I ask what happened to your dad?
Drowned in corn.
Flat storage corn.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's awful.
Yeah, I don't know all the details. I've never really been told. I think they're moving a sweep auger or something. They're trying to unload flat storage corn. It's a, when you go north of Battle Creek on the spur and you hit 275, where you can turn and go into Norfolk or turn west and go towards like Tilden and stuff. Just to the northwest of that intersection, there's a flat storage building and some old grain bins. There used to be a house there. The house burned down 20 years ago. But there, you can see it. There's a flat storage building. There's some grain bins. And he died in that flat storage building. You can see it from the junction there.
That's terrible. Sorry.
So were there people there with him that knew this was going on? Or
my grandpa. And so my mom was in the house. I don't know the whole story. I don't know that he came and told her. But they came and they tried to dig him out. They dug him out, I think, with a loader tractor, I believe. And they, you know, got to him. But then I remember mom talking about the cop coming to the door and her just breaking down, saying he was gone.
Okay, so I need just a little more explanation, because I don't know farming like terms as well. Is that like when like people fall in a bin and then they can't get oxygen?
Yes. Yeah. I think it was bridged corn or something.
You crust or something.
On top, crusted, you know, it's bridged. Yep. They say like there's a hollow spot underneath and you fall through. And if they're running an unloading auger, then it's pulling it down, pulling it out. So that just sucks you down and the corn comes on and just surrounds you and you suffocate, you drown.
I mean, obviously I can't imagine. I always say that, but I can't imagine anything like that. But so your mom then at the time, was it just you? You were the only?
No, I have two older sisters.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How old were they?
Tina was 9. Sarah's only like a year and a half older than me. So she was like 3 and
a
half.
You said were. That's why I laughed because... Never mind.
They're still alive.
Right.
Yeah. No.
Sorry.
Were is still the appropriate word. How old were they at that time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know.
See?
That was my bad.
Jerk. Anyways. So, like, your sister was a year and a half older. Do you think she has more memories or not so much?
I'd have to ask her. I mean, I remember talking about stuff. She remembers certain things from when we still lived in that house in Battle Creek, because we lived on the farm there. And I remember her talking about some of those memories. And like you said, there's one memory she tells with my cousin. And I remember being really young and that memory existing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember as I got older, I can't picture it. But I remember Sarah talking about it all the time. So I have a memory of that memory.
So you were the only boy, though, in the family. So How did that go, like, growing up? Like, what, how did your life kind of change?
Mom already knew my stepdad, I guess you would say, my dad, Tim. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they, I mean, it wasn't very long that she moved on. Mm-hmm. Moved on.
Moved forward.
Yeah, moved forward.
That's the right widow.
You know what I mean.
Oh, yes, I do.
And so, and then I had a sister, Hannah, right away, and I had a sister, they got, had kids right away, because he was older, too, so I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Don't want to wait too long.
Yeah.
So then I had a brother. He was born 4 years after me, 5 years after me. And then we had another sister, Liz. So there's six of us. There's four girls,
oh, wow,
and two boys.
Full house.
Yeah. But that's because I remember telling you about this one, mm-hmm, time. I said, that's why my brother Danny is Danny Priester and my name's Marty Vogel. Because I don't know, people just.
I didn't know.
I always wondered about that. And yeah. I had no idea until you brought it up the other day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But my sister Liz, class of, is she odd eight? Odd seven. Later.
Yeah.
When I moved back to Albion after being in college and being down there and stuff before I moved back away, she was in high school. And so I'd take her to a movie or something, just hang out with her every once in a while. And I remember she goes, some of her classmates were like, boy, you sure run around with Marty Vogel. Isn't that a little weird? Isn't he kind of old?
Oh, geez.
Because they had no idea that I was even her brother. They're her age.
So what's your relationship like with like your stepdad and like his parents growing up? Like, were they your grandparents then too, or?
Yeah, but they died. They were older.
Okay.
I remember going to his grandma's funeral, mm-hmm, or my grandma, his mom. I remember going to that funeral. I remember her. I have a very few memories of his dad. They had moved to Columbus off the farm, and he died. Then she died a few years later, so I wasn't very old when they died. But his family's very close. They used to do a Priester Thanksgiving and a Priester Christmas every year, but then they realized those were right on top of each other, so they switched to an Easter and a Christmas. And mm-hmm, there was 12 brothers and sisters in his family, mm-hmm, and a whole boatload of kids and all of them. So I was always there. I was always with Priester cousins. I don't know. They were just family. I never
really knew different.
No, they were my cousins. I mean, technically they were step cousins or whatever you want to say, but I don't know. It was just, and like Danny is my half brother.
Right.
I don't ever say that. Tim's my stepdad, but I just say dad.
So do you ever feel like you actually ever grieved, or do you think you were just too young to actually know what you were going through?
I may have, you know, then, but I'm never that I can tell you about.
Right.
Never. Nothing I have any recollection of.
Did you ever experience like seeing your mom going through that, and or did she just kind of keep a strong front in front of you?
I mean, she would talk about it sometimes. Sometimes she'd be sad, but nah, she didn't. Yeah, she didn't really let on in front of the kids, I don't think. And I don't know. At one point, I remember she went and they did the legwork and they stopped and they came and they asked me and my sisters. They said, "Do you want Tim to adopt you?" And then your name would be Priester.
How old were you then?
5, 6, I don't know. Old enough I can remember it happening, mm-hmm, but I don't know. Sometime in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, I said, why? What would be the difference? They said, well, then your name would be Priester. I'm like, but my name's Vogel. He's already dead. So yeah, it didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
So I said, and she said, well, it's your choice. It's all your choice. So all three of us just chose to just stay Vogel because that was our name. That was our identity.
Right.
But it didn't mean anything other than that was just our name. It wasn't like us saying we didn't want to be.
Right.
But so then every time I'd go to school, they'd always have me down as Marty Priester. So the first day of school, every time when I was a little kid, they'd be like, Marty Priester. It's Marty Vogel. It's Marty. I'm like,
oh, because your mom probably legally changed her name.
Tim Priester. Yeah, she's Mary Priester, you know. And so it's so bad that they never had any paperwork on it for whatever reason. You would think that the school would have the stuff correct. But one year, I wrote my name V-O-G-L-E in fifth grade. Yes, in fifth grade. Wrote it that way the whole year after summer break. The next year, I came back sixth grade, and we had a new teacher. I was at country school, District 49, there, right by the Hog Unit. Mm-hmm. The Hog Unit's gone now. And that teacher had been a teacher in Albion at the public school and had my sister. And I wrote V-O-G-L-E. She goes, that's not how you spell your name. I'm like, yeah, it is. And so I found paperwork from the year before. I had written it the wrong way for an entire year.
Oh, my goodness.
How stupid is that? But, yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. Everyone says it's Priester. That's P-R-E-I-S-E-R. I can spell that, but that's.
That's funny.
So it's V-O-G-E-L. So.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I didn't spell it wrong.
So that's very interesting, though. Like, I just got married, as you know, mm-hmm. again, and I never changed my last name, and I don't plan to. And Miles and I had that conversation.
Somebody asked me about that.
A lot of people, I think, are wondering and have asked, but we kind of had that conversation way before we were even engaged. And I said the reason being, I don't ever want Lane to feel left out like that. And mm-hmm. then that's why we named our other son Max Swantek Danley, so they'd all kind of be connected.
Gotcha.
And I said, you know, someday I always said I would leave this up to Lane when he's 18. If he ever wanted to, like, add the Danley name, he can. And if he does at that point, I probably will too. But if not, it's all fine across the board. Like, we are in agreement with it. It's not, I don't know.
That's the conversation we had.
Yeah. It's not like, I don't want to say it's not a big deal, but we already know, like, we're happy in what we have and we don't need that specific thing.
Mm-hmm. I get that, because a lot of times people, well, they'll be like, well, you mean your half brother, you mean mm-hmm. your stepdad. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, if you need to put a name on it, go mm-hmm. ahead. Sure. Yeah. It don't bother me. Call it whatever you want. It's my dad. It's my stepbrother.
Yeah.
My brother. It's whatever. I don't care.
So did you call your stepdad, though, dad all growing up even too?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just dad.
So with Lane, at home, he'll call Miles Miles. Mm-hmm. At school, his teachers say all he says is dad.
And not like, because he's told to. That's just how he is.
So it's always interesting. Like, I've always said to Miles, I said, maybe you need to, like, sit down and actually say to him, it's okay if you want to call me dad. Because they've never had the conversation. But obviously, Lane's comfortable saying it at school. So I wonder if it's just him wondering that mm-hmm. about, you know, when he's at home. I don't know. How do you know?
Yeah. Well,
I suppose if Miles is acting like a dad to him, then that's a good enough reason to call somebody dad.
Right.
You know?
Right. But I mean, I think all of us have been really good. And I'm sure that your mom's friends were too, about, like, trying to keep the memory alive and, you know, constantly saying how good of a dad he had. And, you know, obviously Miles has done a great job doing what he can and could have been doing, like, since we started seeing each other. But mm-hmm. it's just interesting to me, like, his teacher's always telling me that. And I'm like, oh, it's good to hear. I wouldn't have known that, you know? Yeah.
For sure.
You want to go into a lighter topic?
You got all your got all your questions out that you need. There's a yell into it. I knocked the table over.
Did you pause?
Did I pause?
That answers that.
Only to reload.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Anyways, okay. So on our next subject, so Marty, we actually have a lot more in common, I think, than a lot of people might know. So the next thing I want to talk about is something that you and I have both struggled with now for a couple years. Unfortunately, somehow we found ourselves in this situation that we have spouses that cannot properly learn how to change a toilet paper roll.
Oh, man, I've been waiting to ask about this.
It is a disaster.
Let me tell you, I've made tutorials. Like, we have practiced. I don't know where to go from here. I don't know if we go to, like, counseling or some kind of...
I don't know what can be done. I post those pictures. Like, at first, it was like a public shaming. I thought it would fix it. And then it was just kind of funny. But then it seemed like just beating a dead horse.
And
just like dragging out back and just destroying this dead horse. So I post like 1 in 10 pictures. Like, people are like, you do that all the time. Like,
I'm the same way.
I should just make one album of just my whole collection of empty toilet paper rolls.
But I could add to that. But also, mine adds to it by, like, he leaves the empty one on there, but the brand new one will be next to the toilet on the ground. And that's where I don't quite know where to go from there.
You probably don't have Snapchat.
No. I have a phone that I can take pictures with, mm-hmm. and I can send them to people via text.
Right.
So I've never downloaded an app so I can take pictures and send them to people. It'd be like downloading an app so I could call people.
This is
on
Marty hating
phone.
On the new technology.
Oh, I know.
Coming from like Snapchat. Dumbest thing ever.
Coming from the guy with an iPhone 67.
I think this is fairly recent. What is this? What is this? Look at it and tell. I don't know.
Your snap of Miles the other night, though, I thought was pretty hilarious when he pulled the blanket over his head.
Because he was busted again.
He's sleeping.
Yeah.
I don't.
Don't worry about it, Miles. Hey, but, you know what? All you women never put the toilet seat up for us.
Don't.
That's bullshit.
Start.
I put this lid down. I don't know why women don't put the lid down.
I know.
I put the whole thing down.
I do too.
Every time I use the toilet.
Yep.
Oh, like the whole lid.
Yeah, I put the lid down. Yeah, here is the most recent picture of an empty toilet paper today at 8:42 a.m.
Okay, so I need to stem off of this. So, Marty, your toilet paper holder, like, just it's just like a, it looks like a
Yeah,
long
you don't
hook.
Even have to reload. Well, no. We have two different bathrooms. One, you have to reload the thing. I mean, that's tricky. A lot of technical, you know. No, this was just a hook. You just pull it off, throw it on the trash can next to you.
Okay, so technical question I actually have. When you are yourself are sitting on the toilet, which side is your toilet paper roll on?
Rolls on the right-hand side.
Okay, here's my
Do you
my
crumple
other
it or fold it?
Fold. I don't like waste. I think crumpling's a waste.
I agree.
Here's my other question. When you go to rip the toilet paper off, when you do you like rip it towards the front and then it's like blocked there? Like, is that the side of the hook?
I come over the top. But my mother-in-law has recently moved in with me.
No, not what I mean. Like the roll, when you slide the roll on, does it like slide on from like behind you going forward?
Right next to me. It's like.
I know, but like the hook, like the hook's like this.
So
and
if
here's
you
a
pull
toilet paper
the
roll,
toilet paper and you
does
rip
it,
it
goes this
forward.
Way?
The hook's forward.
So that's, I just was at a friend's house the other day that had that same thing. And I went to take the toilet paper off and rip it, like push. Pulling forward, and I ripped the whole roll off.
Oh, ripped right off
because
the wall.
Mine's the opposite way.
Oh, well, the hook points at me, but I'm saying you push it forward to go on. You
yes, okay, that's how mine is.
Yes, that's how mine is.
The other one was opposite, and I just ripped it right off.
You guys are starting to lose me.
Toilet paper dispensary.
But no, that's the other. That's the other debate about the toilet paper roll. Whether you put the toilet paper
over the top
or underneath. I'm over the top too.
My mother-in-law keeps putting it on
upside
backwards.
Down.
Yeah. And I just let her win in that bathroom.
You just change. I just secretly change them when I find
them
like that.
I did, but she keeps doing it. And I feel like, you know, this old cliche of the mother-in-law and the son-in-law fighting. I'm like, fuck, she can have the goddamn toilet paper. I quit. But if I go in my bathroom, because my bathroom is all, you know, there's two different. No, it's got to be the right way. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, especially because that one's the one where it's just a hook. It's done. You know,
maybe you guys should just get a bidet and not worry about toilet paper.
We're not starting
this
conversation again.
I am too.
You are? Have you tried one?
Sometimes you take a shower after a particularly bad trip to the bathroom.
That doesn't count.
Well, I'm saying let's save the effort. Well, that's the issue with this whole toilet paper thing. It's not so bad now. Now it is really just a running gag because I've learned to leave toilet paper within reach of the seated
but
position.
But that's my question. Do you think at this point it is actually an accident or like do you think it's a thing that's completely on purpose?
No, my beautiful wife is incapable of shutting off a light switch or closing a door or shutting a gate.
In love fairness, her. She love has her. To put beautiful. Up with you. So.
Hey, I thought I sent you a photo one time of a spatula. On the toilet paper roll holder?
Yes.
This could be a solution.
I don't get it. Flat, I don't get it.
Like a spatula?
Scrape it up.
Oh, instead of
like
having
peanut butter
paper?
On the side of the jar. Yeah.
Yes. Gross. Peanut butter on the side of the jar. Oh, man. Now instead of turning it dark, you're turning it gross.
Humor, yeah.
It's gross.
I feel like you should have the...
Get out of my way, I gotta shit.
Let
get
me
the toilet
the
paper
peanut butter off the jar.
Doesn't she sound gross? Go ahead, try it, Marty. Oh, you still? Oh yeah, I'm on this too. How fun! I didn't know if it was all the mics. It's all the mics. Oh yeah, good times. Good times.
But so, like I was saying, it's not as big of a deal now. Now it is just mostly almost just running gag because I've learned to just keep toilet paper in reach. But when I lived by myself at the South Place before Kendra moved in, I kept the toilet paper in the cupboard that was four steps away from the toilet. Because when I used the last of the toilet paper, I would
get up and change
replace it.
Oh, look at
just
how
like
that works.
Like an adult. But then Kendra moved in with me, and I would sit down and do what you got to do, and I wouldn't look. And then I'm like, well, there's nothing here, and I have to walk. To that destination.
That's I've said the same thing because Miles has left like half of a square on there. And so then I have to like bounce across the bathroom and dribble halfway across the freaking bathroom just to get a new toilet paper roll.
That's quite the visual there.
You're welcome.
I just keep rolls on the back of the toilet. I hide them. You know, there's got to be spares. You learn.
I mean,
you adapt. Yeah.
There it is. See, I told you we got a lot of similarities here.
There you have it.
There we have it. I used to work with Marty. Did you know that?
Jay? She's Jay alumni, as is her sister.
I feel like I remember. I remember you
Don't talk about my younger sister. Jacket will go off into a haze.
That was inappropriate.
He thinks she's cuter than I am. He always says.
Anyway.
Moving on.
No, I hear about it all the time. But yeah. Anyways. Bar owning. Okay, so 2012?
Yes.
Wow. So when you first bought it, I mean, aren't you still farming on the side too?
Yes. Yes. That's why I wanted to do it. I could work nights. I could work when I wasn't working. And then...
Just because did you need more to do or did you not have enough farming to like...
No. I'm just mostly a hired man for the old man. So gotcha. Hired hand for the old man. Whatever. You know, I own 40 acres. I rent a little bit. Mostly I just help him. But he's getting older and he's wanting to get out and I need to do more around there. And it was a nuisance. That's why I wanted to quit being on the schedule. Spring and fall, I spent most of my day trying to find someone to cover for me.
Right.
Because you can't schedule what days will work for you and which won't during harvest.
Not when you don't know the weather.
Well, yeah, you don't know the weather. And we share our combine with the neighbor. So sometimes they have it. And I can work. But, you know, that can change in a day. They'll be like, oh, this isn't working for us. So we go get the combine. And at noon, I'm thinking I don't have to worry about farming. And then all of a sudden at 2:30, I'm like, crap, I got to be working 2 hours. We're going to get the combine. So that's why I'm...
But what, I mean, how did you go from like being like a farmer and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm going to go and buy a bar?
Years ago when I worked at John Deere in Albion, Rasmussen's owned the bowling alley. It was a great place, hopping place. It was a lot of fun. And I used to go in there and eat lunch pretty regular. And Larry Rasmussen asked me, he said, on your off time, would you like to come in and do service work on the bowling machines? They still had the old, old from 50s machines.
Sure.
So I said, yeah. Knew nothing about a bowling machine, but how hard can it be?
Figured out.
Yeah. Maintenance.
So I was doing maintenance work on bowling machines. I remember I got there one night and someone couldn't make it in to wait tables or serve beer. So I don't remember. And they said, hey, the maintenance can wait. Could you just do this? We need someone. I said, sure. And then that just kind of got to be a thing.
The job found you.
Yeah, I was making burgers or I was serving beer or I was doing whatever. Waiting tables. And I didn't mind it. It was fine. It was fun. You get to bullshit with people. Mm-hmm. I like to drink beer. I like to talk to people drinking beer.
You know? Felt the same way about bartending is I could still hang out with all my friends, but I wasn't spending the money or...
You're making money.
Yeah.
Quite the opposite. Yeah. And so I just kind of really enjoyed it when I worked there. But then I moved to Lincoln for a few years. Then I moved back home. And then, I don't know, just the J was the junction. And they switched. And they're going to a sports bar. I'm like, I can work a few extra nights. Mm-hmm. And then I got out of the mechanic thing. So then I'm like, well, I need a job. So I bought a bar because who's going to hire my ass? So I bought a job.
There you go.
But how, like you, did you know the other two people you bought it with then?
Yeah. Yeah. It was the same people that are with now. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And then how did you like come up with the schedule? Because didn't you kind of manage it?
I always let someone else do the schedule. Call me chicken shit. I just don't want to mess with
them. I mean, for like, I meant like the owner's schedules. Like, how do you know who's going
to
be
one of the
there?
Owners was a silent partner. Okay. They had nothing to do with it. He just liked owning a bar.
Got it.
Me and the other owner, we used to work a couple nights together in bartend, but he would work a lot in the back. He'd do a lot of day shifts. Mm-hmm. He would run the kitchen, the bookwork stuff. Mainly my gig was running the bar, making sure the beer was stocked, knowing what we need. Like
being
beer.
The face.
Yeah, being
the
up
counter,
front.
Like,
yeah.
Yes.
And being nights. So being someone being there at night.
That's so hard. That's so hard to do anymore. Find people to like to actually show up and work.
Oh, biggest problem in the whole thing, owning a bar.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the bar in Lindsay, when my buddy bought that, I said, your biggest problem is going to be finding help.
Staff.
I said, you won't even know what your second problem is because you'll be so worried about the first one.
Yeah, unfortunately. Is kitchen staff any different than wait staff? Like, is it harder for one or the other? Are they both kind of the same?
It's the same.
I don't know. I hope that work ethic comes back. I really do.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I don't know. I've never known what it's not been like to work. I've been working since I was, 13.
Mm-hmm.
The tasseling, you know, that's where every good kid learns how to work. Don't give me that face, Jacket.
I got in trouble detasseling one time.
Of course you did.
Throwing corn stalks.
Jungle bunnying people. Do you remember what that was?
That's where you tackled them at the
yes,
end or something.
Yes, jungle bunnying.
I never really detasseled. I helped my friends detassel a few times just because they would want someone to come. So I was never a steady detasseler. I dated a girl years ago, and she was like a detasseling manager or whatever. So
crew
I helped
leader?
On, yeah, so I helped on her crew a few times just to help her out.
You got
to
be a detasseler, then a crew leader, then you got to be privileged enough to be on the cleanup crew, which like was a whole different bus. You remember that? Or did you ever make it that far? You get fired first?
That was the big dogs.
No, I didn't get fired.
What happened then?
Well,
you got fired.
How's that order go?
It's just you got the grunts, and then you're the crew leader.
Okay, I made it to crew leader.
And then
About an hour and a half into crew leader, one of the other crew leaders is like, hey, let's ditch all these little turds and run up to the bus and eat everybody's lunches.
You're a terrible crew leader.
Oh, I know. So then
it's the opposite of a leader.
I forgot about this. I feel terrible about it, but I was this little, you know, nut sack for a kid. And so we boiled up to the buses and we're rooting around. You know, we didn't really eat anyone's lunch. We might have took some fruit snacks or something, but
took the good stuff.
The gushers. Yeah.
And
all the gushers.
So we jump off the bus and then we're walking back. We're gonna go catch back up to our crews and go see how they're doing. And I looked up and there was the bus driver. And he was like the chief or whatever. And that time my buddy, he already jumped in the cornfield, so I don't know if he got identified, but by the time I seen him,
it was too late.
Oh yeah. And then I gotta finish the day at crew leader pay, and then I was knocked back down again. I was like, well,
fuck. Oh, they kept you on though? You just had a detassel again?
Everybody will take a grunt.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Anyone? Yeah. So that didn't last too long. And then I don't know what happened after that.
Do they even do detasseling anymore? Or is it like against labor laws now?
No, they do.
Sure they do. I mean,
has to happen.
Still have to be detasseled. Machine does most of it.
Well, there were machines, because I remember even riding on the machines. I don't remember what they're called.
Detasselers.
No.
That was probably a bean buggy.
No, they look like claws, and you like sit on the end of them. And they had a railing around you, and then you literally like rode on it, and you got to pull them out as you went.
Mechanical machine.
That would have been
to just cut the tops.
Yeah, that would have been nice for a height advantage for me.
Did a claw help?
That had to have been tough for you.
Thanks.
No, the worst part that I remember about detasseling though is my tennis shoes and my socks getting soaking wet in the middle of the cornrows, and then also coming home and just smelling corn the rest of the day. Ah, the worst memories.
Then you just go jump in the river.
Yeah, but then I remember thinking, I think we made like $400 for a summer for detasseling, and it would last me the whole year. That won't last me a damn week anymore.
Nope.
It would.
$400 won't buy anything anymore.
No. But then I mean, think my tickets to the county fair.
You just got to know where to shop.
Buy an exploder.
Oh, come on now.
That's why Jacket drives that.
He's driving more pieces of shit than anyone you know.
I enjoy that's your debatable. Pieces of shits. That's how I know when you're at the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
That's debatable.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day, I rode with you through the Broken Arrow trails by Fullerton.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what vehicle it was.
That gray Blazer.
Centurion. Did you have a Centurion too?
No, he had a Centurion. He sold it because he's a dumbass.
Idiot.
Moron.
Yeah.
All the names you can think of.
Oh, yeah. All of them. I kicked myself for it. It was a cool machine.
It was a Blazer you had, though. I remember that. I was there.
Well, I had a few. I had that gray Blazer. And I've had a lot of Blazers. But that big gray one, that was the one I took off road most of the time.
Did
that
you maybe roll could it go there one year?
Real
no, I rolled that and, well, flopped it. In Tuttle, I put it on its side. It didn't go over.
Laid it down.
Laid it down. Yeah, we got tired.
Got it.
Did you ever go down to Tuttle for the Stampede or just?
No. My friends did all the time. Anytime we went down there, it was just to go off road and meet Blair and cross over there. Can't hear that glare on the microphone.
That's because I went a lot of years.
A lot of my friends did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I rode the motorcycle down there 1 year, maybe 2 years in a row. And that was it. Getting too old.
Is that when you shave the abs into your stomach?
No.
Have you ever shaved the arrow?
The harrow?
Yeah. Arrow, I like that.
No, I haven't.
Somewhere, I'm sure if you look on the internet, you find bad pictures of me with an arrow shaved into my hair.
Everything you find on the internet's true, so it happened. Okay, so like going back to, I guess, kind of the I don't want to say dark side, but a big reason I asked Marty to come on this week was because it was like a year after Brett had passed, and then I had started dating Miles, and he's older and I'm older, and we both talked about like kids, and he didn't have any kids, so we were like, okay, if we're going to do this, we don't have like the normal timeline where you'd get together, start dating, date for a few years, get engaged, get married, and then think about kids. So we kind of did everything the opposite way, knowing that, I mean, Miles turns 40 in a couple months. I'm 36, right? But it was just, it was like now or never. And also Lane at that time was 5. It was time. So we found out we were pregnant, made the announcement on social media, like, you know, people do. And then I got this message from a guy that had claimed to know Brett and was friends with them and all this stuff, and tried talking to me and getting me to go out with him once, basically, and I didn't do it. So this is the exact message he sent me 5 minutes after I put it on social media. It says, "With all due respect, you should be ashamed of yourself, Katie. Brett always spoke so highly of you and loved you to the core, and he's only been gone for 2 years, and you're already hoeing around with another guy and having a baby with another guy. I know you have to move on, but it seems too soon to be having kids with another guy. Just saying. In my eyes, it makes you look like a very big whore. Just saying. See you never." So I opened that message. It's one of those things, again, that you don't forget where you're at. I was in my friend's basement. Actually, we were working from home, and I instantly started bawling, and she had no idea what was going on, and I just had to hand her my phone to read it. And then, again, I don't know why this comes to me. I think it's just where I find support, but I posted it on social media and just saw where it went. And Marty is one of the first ones that actually reached out to me to make me feel a lot better. But tell him what you said to me.
Do you still have the messages that
probably
I sent you?
I don't know if they were text or messages.
You want me to play a quick song while you look them up?
Look them up while Jake shows us his harmonica
I got,
skills.
Marty brought your grandpa's.
My grandpa's harmonica.
Okay, so you guys hear how good Katie is every time we start the podcast, and now here is me gonna play you a little ditty.
Okay, you're done.
I thought I did pretty good.
You're done.
Sounds like you know what you're doing.
You got to get aggressive with those harmonicas. Okay, while you're looking for that, Marty, you dabble in the old Husker football. Been in the Lincoln Journal Star.
Yeah, I didn't even know I was. Petchy. I was getting gas at Casey's one time, and he was giving me a hard time about being in the Journal Star. I'm like, what? And he was talking like I was aware of it. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he kind of described this story. I'm like, zero idea. I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, it turns out the Oregon game, when Oregon came to Nebraska, and Mike Riley, everyone thought he was a great coach for beating him.
The best.
Yeah. It actually turns out that Oregon's coach was an idiot. If he would have just kicked an extra point after every touchdown, they would have won.
Right.
Because he went for two on the first touchdown and got it. So they had the unnatural advantage already. If he would have kicked an extra point on every touchdown after that, they would have won the game. But he kept going for two. And so he allowed Nebraska to win for being a moron. He was fired at the end of the season. And kind of. Anyhow, here and we're there. We were there tailgating before the game, having a good time. I'm walking around wearing my bib overalls, being a dumbass, drunk fan.
Herbie Husker.
Yeah, yeah.
In real life.
And we're walking past the front of the stadium, and there's a group of Oregon fans, like, doing a posed photo out front, and they're getting all together. So being a drunk dumbass, I run in front of them, get right in the center of the picture, like, to photobomb them. And I'm like, I'm sorry, guys, just kidding. And I tried to get out of the picture. Like, no, they're all laughing. So they pulled me back in, and I took some pictures with these guys. They're all laughing, just thinking it's great. I'm like, okay. Because that's happened before. I've gotten, like, the Washington game years ago when we kicked the shit out of Washington. I think every girl from Washington wanted to take a picture with me. Never felt so popular in my whole life.
Herbie Husker.
Teddy bear.
I guess. But so Herbie. What happened is these fans were not actually Oregon fans. They were Nebraska fans.
What?
The scallywags.
Yes. They wanted to see, because everyone talks about how nice Nebraska fans are.
They duped you.
Yeah. And they wanted to, well, they duped everyone. You have to read the article.
Oh, yeah, funny. I know.
They wanted to get the full Nebraska
They wanted
experience.
To see if the Nebraska fans really were that nice. So they went out and bought a bunch of Oregon gear.
That's brilliant.
Got a that backstory going. Had all this backstory.
What year was this? You don't know?
This is just a few years ago.
I was going to ask you that. So in that, exactly when you were doing that, I was in labor in the hospital having Lane.
Oh, really?
Yes, during the Oregon game. And I was watching it on the screen.
The article is Cindy Lange Kubik Lang, I don't know how you ever pronounce that, wrote in the name of the article was Husker fans walk the duck walk to test greatest fan theory.
That's
hilarious.
I don't
know if you can still find that article on.
So I'm sure what did they say about the Husker fan base?
They had a great time. Said beers bought for them, drinks bought for them, good time everywhere they went. They said, like, when they went into bars, they were pulling out their Nebraska ID and kind of, like, saying to the bouncer, hey, don't let anyone see this, you know, trying to keep it a secret.
Don't be a knock.
Yeah, don't narc us out here. So
that's, it kind of makes me want to do that sometime. Like,
yeah, you probably wouldn't be very good at it, but anyways, I went to Pennsylvania for that Penn State game right after the Sandusky scandal.
Oh, yeah, we won that one.
I know.
And they prayed before the game. That was really kind of touching and neat.
The fans
that was touching? What was touching?
Too soon?
crossing line. The line. No, their fans were fantastic, I thought. And we took 7 of us went out there in a minivan with no stereo and...
Could have grabbed a DeWalt.
Yeah.
And Charger.
It was a good time, though. The fans were great. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, everyone buying you drinks, offering you food and stuff. And game was good. We won. Started snowing. My phone went dead at the end. And I said before the game, I'm like, there were 7, odd number. I'm like, I'm not sitting alone at this game. So we drew straws.
And you had to sit alone.
So I got to sit between all the Penn State fans. And every time we did something good, I yelled and cheered. And they're like frowning at me. And, you know, they were pretty decent overall, though I can't complain. But ran back downtown, phone died. Stopped in Cleveland on the way back to watch the Browns and Steelers play, and I'd never been to a pro game until then. And boy, Cleveland is just a real shithole. Never want to go back.
You just lost your whole chance of having Cleveland fans.
I know, I know, or a sponsor. Yep. Yeah.
I mean,
it was just, I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
What was so bad about, like, what?
We're coming in on the interstate, and we're getting close to the stadium, and some homeless-looking guy's got his dong out pissing towards the interstate, and I'm like, oh, there's probably kids, you know, looking out the windows when you go by and stuff, and I'm like, okay, you know, it's too far away to make anything out, but you knew what was going on. I'm like, there's just garbage everywhere.
You were jealous.
And just junk everywhere. And
literally junk.
Fans were just, I was wearing a Husker coat. And the fans were talking shit to me. I'm like, I guess that's just how it goes, but
I don't,
you know,
like isn't
never
that how...
been to a pro game before.
I've never been to a pro game, but they say they're, yeah, just less.
Oh, I just put that down in my head, because Nebraska's not pro, obviously. So why were they talking crap to you? It's not like you had a pro team's.
I wasn't wearing Cleveland shit, I guess. It didn't matter.
Who are the meanest fans?
I don't know. Everyone says this fan base is and this fan base is. I don't know.
I feel like I've always heard Colorado.
Yeah, we went out there 19. They were okay. After we lost the game, we didn't stay and party in Boulder. We out of town and then partied elsewhere. I don't know. In other years, they're so terrible, nobody shows up to their game. So
they beat us in 2019, though, didn't they?
Yeah, God, they beat us like 3 straight. Yeah. It's embarrassing.
I was actually.
They had no business beating us in that game.
Were winning, right?
Yes, and our offense just laid an egg. Yep. Everyone got mad at the defense, so the offense scores a couple touchdowns.
Wait, do you have chickens?
Yeah.
Well, that's even funnier then. I thought so.
Yeah, I'm married to a crazy chicken lady.
I mean, hey, can we talk about that? Like, I need to know the story. I need to know the story how you met your wife.
Well, that's a Husker game story as well. That's a Michigan
extravaganza, we'll call it.
Yeah, Michigan State was a 11, 2011. Taylor Martinez, sophomore year, junior year. Anyhow, Michigan State's ranked top 10 team. I get tickets to go. I sit up in the upper bowl. Apparently, I ran into Kendra before the game. No recollection of that at all. She was with her friends. I wasn't paying attention. Not trying to be rude.
Right.
But she's like, you met me before the game. I'm like, oh, cool. Whatever. So we go to the game, and the game itself is a fun story. So I'm sitting in the upper bowl with a guy that played for Nebraska years and years ago, and he has tickets up in the upper bowl, great seats. And this large, shaven-head man sits in front of me, and I mean big dude. And I'm looking at that shaven head. I'm like, I know that head. I know that head. So Taylor Martinez runs an option play, flips it out. Beautiful. And his first couple years, he just didn't look comfortable running an option. I'm like, maybe stick to the zone read. You're not an option man. But he looked good that day. And so I'm talking to Chris who I'm with. I'm like, God, he looks comfortable today. He looks really good on the option. And I know who's sitting in front of me. I said, you know, everyone wants to talk about Tommy Frazier being the best option quarterback at Nebraska. You know who was better? And this was before the whole coaching debacle. I said, Scott Frost. I said, Scott Frost would hold on to that ball till the last second. And then he would flip that pitch off. And then he would light up whichever dumbass defensive end or safety or cornerback committed to him. Just destroy him. And sure as shit, Tommy Frazier turns around and goes, I didn't take them hits because I was too smart not to take them hits. And I start laughing. And he looks. He goes, you're fucking with me, aren't you? I said, you're the best, Tommy. And he started laughing. We had fun the whole rest of the
that
game.
That is hilarious.
Oh, it was great.
I didn't know that.
I didn't take them hits. I'm too smart. God, it was funny. I had a great time with him.
That's hilarious. Awesome. Oh, I know.
But so we win. Unranked, I believe. We might have been ranked lower. But they're a top 10 team. So unexpected victory. We go downtown, and a bunch of my friends are partying there. And I run into Kendra, who's with her friend, Chris. Nah, well, I'm really butchering these names. Kristen and Kendra, too close. And they're all having a good time. And here sits Kendra in the back of the bar, like arms folded across her chest, like someone just kicked her dog 7 times, just pissed, not having any fun. Everyone else is having a great time. So I just feel bad for her. I walk over there and try to talk to her. She's like, what are you drinking? She didn't even have a drink. It's like, nothing. I'm like, well, tell me what you're drinking. Nothing. I said, if you don't tell me what you're drinking, I'm going to go buy you a Budweiser. And I'm guessing Budweiser's not your drink of choice. She's like, Dirty Shirley. I said, oh, what? Dirty Shirley. I'm like, oh, okay. So I go up to the bar and I get a beer and I'm 99% sure she's fucking with me. There's no such thing as a Dirty Shirley, right? And so I say to the bartender, like, and a Dirty Shirley? She goes, yep, coming right up. I'm like, I'll be fucked. That is a drink.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one, too.
Yeah, this is a Shirley Temple with vodka. Whatever. But so I take it back and I hand it to her, BS with her a little bit. She is not having it. Give her the drink, wander off. Because when I'm drinking, I'm here.
Social butterfly.
I'm just wandering. Mm-hmm. And I come back by, not even a couple minutes later, empty, gone. Like, boy, you must have liked it. You want another one? No. So I go up to the bar, buy her another one, talk to her a little bit. And we left and we went from there. We were at Brothers, right?
Yeah.
And then we went to Iguanas. Went to Iguanas. Sorry, I gotta turn to do this. Bush. Went to Iguanas and had a few beers. So now she's finally kind of talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you want to get out here? You want to go road trip? Because I just, Lincoln Bars, downtown.
Not my style.
I had my Suburban. I was like, let's load everyone up. Let's go west of Lincoln, down A Street, go hit up like Pleasantdale, Milford, just drive around and have fun. I know all them roads. I was like, you want to get out here and go road tripping? She's like, I'm not having sex with you. I was going to try and get like eight people, you know.
To have sex with you or to ride with you?
You know, whatever comes first. That's what she said. Huh? And so I'm like, well, cool. And so I meander off. And after a while, I'm like, I'm drunk. I've had fun. I've had enough of the bars. So I wander off to my Suburban and just lean the seat back, take a nap. I wake up in the morning and I check my phone. And I've got like 3 or 4 missed messages from this number. Where'd you go? Where are you? What'd you do? Who is this? I didn't know the number, so whatever. Probably the wrong number. Like a week or two later, I'm talking to Scott Koonsman. And he's like, yeah, that girl came up to me at whatever next bar they went to. And because, of course, I'm dressed in bib overalls mm-hmm. and a Husker shirt because I'm a
hard
jackass.
To forget.
Awful yeah. beard at the time.
They're Herbie Husker.
Yeah. And it's Halloween weekend. So everyone's dressed up, you know, wearing outfits and costumes and stuff. And Kendra goes up to Scott Koonsman. She says, where'd Marty go? And he goes, what? She goes, the guy with the bib overalls and the big beard. And Scott, having my back at all times, says, you know, he's not dressed up for Halloween. That's just the way he looks. But so then I realized that's who had texted me. I'm like, oh, now I kind of feel bad. So I responded. I'm like, hey, sorry. Just saw these, I don't know, made some lie or whatever. But I just honestly thought it was like a
stalker.
Wrong call, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, stalker.
Yeah.
Creeper.
Because where did Kendra live then?
Well, she was living in Lincoln. She was going to school in Lincoln at the time. I was living back here, but I was just going down to the games. And yeah, so.
So then what? You asked her on a date and
yeah,
history from there?
You really should have her as a guest on here because she could tell you about the greatest first date in the history of great dates. I have no idea how we're married. I have no idea how there was a second date or
I
multiple
mean,
first dates or multiple more dates.
give yourself more credit than that. Honestly, just being able to be like a bar owner and like be that person to be that social, though, you should have the ability to get along with anyone. And like,
oh no, we got along. We clashed. I don't know, or just.
She knew she was never going to have to change the toilet paper roll ever again.
Yeah.
That's what
she figured that out. She's like, well, actually, man, this dude can change the toilet paper roll. I'm good.
That's all I need.
I found my provider.
Toilet paper. It's the one thing that you can't cheap out on, though. You don't get the cheap kind, do you?
No.
I mean, you can't get Charmin because I've heard that's bad on sewers. Jacket, is it? You know?
I wouldn't know. Who gives a shit?
I mean, flush you put
it.
Them in, but whatever. But it's
going to mix in with the poop and pee and blood.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, all the stuff from the funeral.
Embalming.
Yeah.
That was.
When I die, do not embalm me. Just take me straight to the smokehouse.
Do you want to go to the river with my dad?
I don't think they can.
The
I don't think they can. I think
did
they
you listen to the interview you had with Drew?
Well, of course I did. I had a lot of shit going on, though.
You don't have to be embalmed.
Well, you need your
furnace.
Cardboard box first.
Yes, you have to be put in a cardboard box. You fold it up like a pizza box. You got to fold the flaps.
Right. And then you can go.
Kim's caskets.
I still think that's a brilliant idea. Yeah, like, come up with like a cheaper version. And
I hope she does it.
I do too. Maybe they'll sponsor us.
We're copyrighting that.
Okay, yeah, your first sponsor.
I copyrighted it.
Yeah, it's already got the website under his name. He'll sell it to her.
Yeah. Don't even think about it.
Yeah. Okay, so I found the messages that I got from Marty after that guy posted that on or sent me that on Facebook, and
not the time.
My bad.
Great time.
His first message that he said actually was, "My sister Hannah is only a few years younger than I. Don't let that guy get to you." And I wrote him back and I said, "It just caught me off guard big time. Made me cry. It was just upsetting that people feel the need to go that far." And he wrote back, "I was actually quite happy for you when I heard the news. I could see it making you cry, but like I said, I'm coming from a place very similar to your son. My dad died 4 days after my second birthday." And then he said, "My three younger siblings are my brothers and sisters. If someone needs to be technical, they can call them my half brother or half sister, but that's not a term that we've ever felt the need to use." And then I don't know, we kind of chit-chat back and forth, but he basically said at the end, "Anytime you want to hear something positive about your relationship, let me know. Tim Priester is not my dad, but he will always be my dad. And that takes nothing away from Marvin Vogel," spelled V-O-G-E-L.
Marvin would be proud of you. And I'm sure Tim too, like, more than happy to welcome you into the family. I mean, not to not be proud about.
Right.
Yeah. We just had the Priester Easter last weekend. We had a
How was that?
Good time. Yeah. Get a lot of family together.
Was it on Easter Sunday?
No, it was two weeks ago now. Yeah. It was the week before. But so my son Raymond Vogel has been asking every day since, and when are we gonna have Priester Easter again?
It's usually, as long as the weather's nice, it's usually a fun day. Last ones I want to ask tonight, because I've always wondered this about someone that lost their dad and then, you know, had a new dad come into their life. Did you ever get to the point in like your teenage or high school years where you got mad because he punished you and you said, "You're not my dad. You're not my real dad"?
Maybe. Not that I recall. I remember I pissed him off real bad one time. I was 100% in the wrong, and I just kept talking shit to him. I was drunk, and he punched me. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Is that all you got, old man?"
Ooh, how old were you?
Oh, 18. I don't
nice.
Know. I had it coming. I was 100% in the wrong.
You didn't punch back?
No.
What'd you do?
I said, "Is that all you got, old man?"
But then what happened?
You take your medicine.
Yeah. It actually did hurt, but
yeah,
you can't let on to that.
You never let anybody know that.
I never understood the whole fighting thing, but obviously it was never a fight.
Oh, I had way overstepped and pushed way too far. There's nothing. It 110% my fault.
But you don't ever remember like resenting him?
I don't ever remember saying
it's just a classic movie thing that they always show. Like, "You're not even my dad. You
I've had a kid tell me that."
What?
I've had a kid tell me that.
I don't.
"You're not my freaking dad, Jacket."
And moving on.
Moving forward.
Moving forward. Number one.
And Katie still needs to say how to put your story in at crossingline.live.
Yes, I do. Oh, yeah. So if anybody... Okay, we're getting ready to wrap up this episode, but we do have an actual website because we're quote-unquote official. It's crossingtheline.live, and you can go on there, and there's a spot where you scroll down. You can drop us a line or drop us a note if you have any suggestions on what we should be talking about or what you want to hear us talk about or cross the line with. Or
if you have questions, any of that
or if you just want to go on there and send us a jerk message because you're one of our friends that want to screw with us, fine. But well, I'm sure that'll happen.
Or you said if you know of a guest that would be interested or would be interesting.
We have a whole list of like people that we'd like to have on, like just off the top of my head.
I just texted Joe Rogan the other day.
He's not going to be a guest on our podcast.
He already said he's good.
You have to drop. We're not famous.
Yeah, you don't give a shit.
From Genoa, Nebraska. Nobody knows us.
He's jealous of Jake's hair.
He's a stand-up guy.
He would be if he saw it.
Yeah. He's a stand-up guy.
He's not going to see it because Jake won't be on camera and wants to wear a paper bag if we ever have to be. So
well, you know, we are. My dad always told me I had a face for radio.
Whatever. But to end our episode, we want to have a little chat about how Marty actually had a third part of his professional life where he did a lot of DDing for people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we borrowed or rented a party bus. I don't know if you'd say rent. We gave a lady who's no longer with us, so they can't come after her anyhow, $100, and we'd take her party bus out and drive it around.
Really?
Yeah. And so
the blue one?
Yeah, that blue one. Yeah.
I did not know that you rented that.
Well, gave her a $100 bill and cleaned it up when we were done. I mean, call it renting. But so then we were just like, let's just get our own. So we went to me and a bunch of buddies, brother, neighbors and stuff. We all just pooled in some money and bought a used one, painted it up, put a radio in it, slapped enough stuff in it, barely. We got an old camper out of the trees to put a bathroom in it. Just enough stuff so you could consider it an RV and played it and insured it that way. And yeah, I ran it for you 4 or 5 times.
I was just going to say, I'm scared to ask this because I already feel like I know the answer, but what was like the worst thing that ever happened when you were driving a party bus of a group of people?
Puke.
There's puke. Bones one time held a bag of wine over my head and told me I had to drink. And I'm like, I'm not drinking, dude. I'm driving. He was already intoxicated. He said, you can either open your mouth or I'm going to pour it on your head. So I really did try to refrain from drinking. I was driving a bus trying to be a DD.
I'll turn this damn bus around.
Yeah, so as I'm driving down the highway heading back up to Conley's farm, I cranked my head back and Bones just poured wine down my gullet as I was driving it.
Oh my. Did you slap the bag?
Yes. And then they all cheered and they were all very happy. I had a whole bus full of Conley's.
That was a bachelor party, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Cam and there I go.
Is it Jay's? I don't remember whose bachelor party it was, but I remember that. Billy's.
No.
I don't remember.
I can't say it. But yeah, one of the Conley's. Narrow it down. A Conley.
They're all fun.
Yeah. I had a whole bus of Conley's. How do you imagine that mess?
I thought for sure your story would be, it was one of my Halloween probably party buses, and we were between Duncan and Silver Creek.
When the people fell off? Were you one of the fallen offers?
I don't think so.
But picked up the one night, and you weren't even part of the party. You just jumped on, you and Danny. There I go name dropping again.
It's fine.
No, yeah. But it was like in the middle of us moving, and like the back door opened, and someone like
fell out.
Yeah,
we were turning
out.
Off of...
Gravel road or something.
No, we were coming right off the tracks on 14, turning onto, is it 14? No, 39. Whatever, don't matter. Sure. Turning onto 30, go into Silver Creek, and they fell out. I remember
running up to Marty and having to say, Marty, someone fell out the
back
of the bus.
We got to turn around and go get, there was two or three of them.
I
don't remember.
I think the second one jumped after the first one.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, save you. I don't know.
That was horrible. We were going to Shakey's.
Yeah, that was, that place was something.
It was fun.
It was fun.
I was there more than I should have been.
It was like a fight just ready to explode at any time.
I never saw fights there. It was just, but it was a sketchy place. Every time I went there was after like
That was like the, that was like one, the two when all the cops descended on it.
That was the Bermuda Triangle of of all the different towns around, and that's where
that
I'll get
problem.
Really
that's,
drunk, and then when the bars close, let's go to one place, and I'll tell each other how
that's,
much we hate each
exactly. Yeah. That's where you figured out, you know,
that you should be in fights all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And then you being there stone sober watching it, it's like, this is cool.
Oh yeah, cool. Being sober with a bunch of drunks is the worst thing ever.
Everyone wanted me to do it like as a business, and that's what State Patrol came after us for. That this is not a business. I had people I didn't know calling me. I'm like, no, it's just something we do for friends.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how you could stand it. Like just me being through two stints of 9 months sober. I can't handle it. That's enough time for me.
I got a DUI 20 years ago. And so ever since then, I just kind of DD'd. I don't know. I had the Suburban. I just did a lot of DD, and I didn't want anyone else to get a DUI.
Yeah.
I got pulled over in Lincoln one time on 9th Street where the speed limit comes down real hard after you come off the overpass. 3 a.m, I was out picking all the drunks up after a Cornhusker, that party bus that used to run up and down Cornhusker, you know, Tourity Cornhusker, whatever they call it.
Yeah, yeah.
And all my drunk friends were scattered from one end of Cornhusker to the other. It took me 2 hours to find them all. And I'm coming back, and I come down off that hill, and there's a cop there, and he pulls me over. He said, you know why I pulled you over? I said, I don't know. He said, the speed limit's only 25 at the bottom of that thing. He said, you were still going 35, 40, whatever. Like, yeah, I was slowing down. And he gave me a speeding ticket. The vehicle was packed. There's like 17 drunks in the Suburban. He's, you know, what are you doing out here? You've been drinking. I'm like, no, I'm stone sober. I just rounded up all these drunks. I'm taking them home so they're not driving. Yeah, so still gave me a speeding ticket.
He should let you slide on that one.
Yeah. Whatever.
That's the way she goes sometimes, though. Sucks.
That's what?
The way it goes.
The way she goes. Sway she goes.
But yeah, that party bus, it was fun. And it was really fun when it wasn't your turn to drive. If you got a ride on it, like my wedding, we had a great time at my wedding, Danny's wedding. Which all of us that pitched in on it all ended up getting married at some point and using the stupid thing.
So it turned out to be a good thing.
Yeah, but you would get, like I said, I did it one time for a girl because I said I'd only do it for friends. They used to bartend St. Ed, and she was nice. I got along with her good, so I did it for her. She asked me to. But then it ended up just being a bunch of her friends from Columbus. I only knew like two people in there. That was the worst experience ever. Dealing with a bunch of drunks that are your friends is one thing. Dealing with a bunch of drunks that you don't know, like, Jesus, I'm going to pull this bus over and watch him get off and then just go.
I DD'd up to O'Neill for St. Patty's a few times in my van. Oh, it's horrible. It starts out good, but...
Yeah, it's... And you everyone's just like, oh, I bet you have so many funny stories. I'm like, you know, stories are funny when a bunch of drunk people are together and you're a drunk people. When you're the sober person, you're like...
It's not funny. It's annoying.
God, how can I think I'm funny when I'm like that? That's awful.
I always dealt with that. Thanks for driving, man. Hang on. Let me see what I got here.
Thanks for driving. No, that ain't good.
Thanks for driving, man. We love you.
No, that. I mean, they're just thankful people that I'm driving, but they say it 500 times, you know,
over and over and over. I'm like, I don't need to hear thank you again.
Did they tip you?
Sometimes. Nah, sometimes not. I remember one time we took my Suburban from like Lincoln to Spalding for tanking and back. And someone, when we got back to Lincoln, was like, hey, thanks, man, for driving. They gave me a $5 bill. This was gas is like 3 something. I'm like, well, you know, that was thanks for the effort, but that got us out of Lincoln.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, whatever. I just remember laughing at that $5 bill. Cool.
Yeah. Well, it's fun. I feel like we've all had a lot of life experiences that have, I mean, brought us a lot of fun stories, if anything, right?
For sure.
So should we wrap it up?
Yeah, if you're ready, you guys know how to get a hold of us.
You need to put the harmonica down because you are not playing it in front of a microphone right now.
Well, when you get your song ready, I'm going to play it in the meantime.
It's ready already. Put it down. Anywho, now that your eardrums are all blown.
That is a good song.
This is my harmonica song that I nailed.
Okay, quiet down. That sounds just like me.
Yeah, dead ringer.
Get out of there. Mute. CrossingTheLine.live, everyone.
Thanks for having me.
CrossingTheLine.these nuts.